agree that even if a billion people believe something, it can still be ridiculous.
Absolutely.
All right.
You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Welcome to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Pocasil. Great to have you with us here on the beautiful campus of LCMSU.
Hi.
You know, it's certainly getting tougher and tougher on our college campuses these days. I think it's time for a little straight talk, that is, unless...
You can't handle the truth.
We are joined today in the Student Union with a student, Joshua Lacey. How are you doing today, Josh?
Good, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Where are you at?
I'm currently in Laramie, Wyoming, where it's very cold.
Okay. When you say cold, you got to understand I'm down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. What is that, like 40, 50, 60 degrees somewhere in there?
Today was 31 degrees.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. That's if I recall from my time, for those of you who don't know, I used to be the campus pastor there at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center, a fantastic campus ministry. In fact, I was telling Josh when I asked him to be on the program that I would have to have a service announcement to tell anybody else at the campus ministry there that Josh is now our third individual in the first 25 or 30 shows, so nobody else is getting on for the next year. Got to spread the love around a little bit here. But Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself, Josh. Where are you from? What are you studying? That kind of stuff.
I'm a junior at the University of Wyoming studying social work from Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
And where is Highlands Ranch for those that are not westernized?
So it's about an hour or so south of Denver, Colorado. So it's a suburb.
Okay. And why'd you choose the University of Wyoming, being down in the kind of Yuppieville in Denver area?
Honestly, the University of Wyoming was cheaper than every other place in Colorado. So, and Wyoming was obviously a different enough world that I could go there and be away from kind of the overbearing liberalness in Colorado and can go to a place where people are smart and they vote Republican.
Okay, now we're not getting into politics on the show here, although that's fine. So in other words, it was a nice cultural fit is what you would say.
Exactly.
Okay. I like to hear that that the quality campus ministry had absolutely nothing to do with your decision, but hopefully you're glad that you have a wonderful campus ministry there.
Yeah, I was very glad that I found it.
And I have to tell people every Thursday night I miss having evening prayer. Still to this day, I've been gone a year and a half. I miss the fire pit, and every time somebody posts pictures of the candlelight service or a 20-foot tall fire burst just outside the facility, it kind of warms my heart a little bit. But anyways, mm-hmm. I don't need my heart nearly as warmed as you do because it was like 65 degrees here today. But I digress. It is great to have you with us, Josh. Tell everybody, though, you don't stumble across as many social work majors anymore. What is your interest? What kind of got you thinking about social work, and what would you like to do?
So I kind of always wanted to help people. When I grew up, my parents used to say I attracted the absolute weirdest people to come be my friends. Kind of a lot of people that you wouldn't really associate yourself with kind of off first glance. But I never really kind of cared about that. And I just really wanted to then kind of make a difference kind of as much as I could. But the particular kind of voice, the opposite kind of opinion, at least in social work, has really kind of been drowned out. So I was really kind of motivated to join to kind of be that opposite opinion. But if anything like mental health or DFS, Child Protective Services, anything like that would probably be where my best interest lies. But if it were a perfect world, I'd want to work with people from the U.S. military.
Well, that's a great option. God be with you in your studies. And before we kind of get into, Josh was one of our Free to Be Faithful young adult ambassadors that had a chance to join us at an event for the Center, the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty in Washington, D.C. Had Claire Hauser from Concordia University St. Paul and Bethany Glock from the University of Illinois on the program. And, of course, it was ladies first. And so now I have to talk to the guys. So, so have Josh on the program. And the next week we're going to have Isaiah Armbrecht from the Concordia University in Seward, a young student from Iowa. And he was there as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the substance, the story behind your essay in a moment. But I want to get your reaction to a couple of things. When we talk about issues of religious liberty, there's a couple stories that I just saw today. I mean, I tell people all the time that you cannot go online, whether it's FoxNews.com or CNN or whatever, and not find, wherever it is, some crazy story. You go to campusreform.org. There's some other places of the stuff that's happening on our college campuses that affect our religious liberties and talk of microaggression and all these types of things. And I wanted to get, Josh, is it all right? I want to get your reaction to a couple of things here. Is that all right?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
doesn't matter because you're trapped for the next 16 minutes yet. So this first one was a story, and this was from FoxNews.com, Todd Starnes, about the University of Nebraska, Kearney, if we have some Nebraskans out there. Senator Ben Sasse, if you're listening, you might want to take notice. I'm just going to read you a couple of notes. I just want to get your reaction to this. The hullabaloo started last January. Students were asked to select a new dining option for the student union. Their choices included Chick-fil-A, Panda Express, IHOP, A&W, and Sbarro. It's a pizza joint you always see in the airports. However, it turns out, so what happens is the youngsters chose Chick-fil-A in a total, absolute landslide. Chick-fil-A, that's what they wanted. However, of course, turns out the majority didn't rule, even though those were the rules. At the University of Nebraska, Kearney, and a vocal minority pitched a fit, demanded that Chick-fil-A be banished from campus. And of course, among those opposed to the chicken restaurant were members of the university's Queer Straight Alliance. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, Josh, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you are not a member, just in full disclosure, you are not a member of the Queer Straight Alliance at the University of Wyoming. Is that correct?
No, I'm not.
Okay, and neither am I. Okay, so just want to make sure for our listeners that that's very clear. But what goes on is they decided, I'll just summarize a little bit, they went back and re-educated all the students about all of the policies of Chick-fil-A. I think everybody at this point knows that Chick-fil-A, you know, Christian principles behind their organization. They aren't open on Sundays. They have stood up for the right to marriage and being against gay marriage and whatnot. And they've received a hard time for this. And it seems like whenever one goes in someplace, there's always those who are boycotting them. And so anyways, what are your thoughts on that? Do you have a Chick-fil-A at the University of Wyoming?
No, there's only one actually, and it's in Cheyenne.
You mean one in the whole state?
Yeah, and it's in Cheyenne. It's in the mall in Cheyenne.
And either
which
that,
has made it really.
Go ahead.
Huh? No. It's like it's made me really appreciate it even more because me growing up, I had about four or five like near my house, so I never went. But you know, now that I have one in the whole state, you know, every time I go home, it's like, where do you want to go? Chick-fil-A.
Sure. Duh. Well, and I'm sure for our listeners, Wyoming has got about 600,000 people, and Laramie is a city of about 28, 29, 30,000, and it's the third largest city in the state. So it's not that the progressives have done such a good job keeping Chick-fil-A out. They're just doing a lot of people in Wyoming. So,
exactly.
But how do you think a Chick-fil-A, tell me, in your experience, how would a Chick-fil-A go if they did? I could see them putting that in the student union. At the University of Wyoming, do you think, you know, University of Wyoming, in my estimation, is a little bit more conservative than most typical college campuses, which means it's still liberal, but it's not nearly as bad as many places. What do you think the reaction would be if Chick-fil-A wanted to come to the University of Wyoming campus?
Where overall, I think it would still be kind of let in, but it wouldn't be without the naysayers and the whistleblowers and the people who would, go kicking and screaming into everything no matter what, which is kind of how most things kind of check out to be. But it's always fantastic to me that because I read that article and everything myself, that people can then look and, according to that article, an email then was actually sent out to the student body of Nebraska Kearney saying, this is what the student body kind of has decided. And another student kind of went back and said, no, that's not that's not what the entire student body thinks. That's what one group thinks. Right. And it's always fantastic to me that, it seems more and more today, everything is kind of more about that group or kind of not rocking the boat or, kind of things like that rather than just kind of what people then would rather want, because it then seemed to me that most students at the University of Nebraska Kearney would want Chick-fil-A, but...
You'd think so. That's probably not all that different from students at the University of Wyoming in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, what's interesting to me is we have this tyranny of the minority. And so if you're in a minority opinion, everybody's rights seems to matter on campus unless, you actually really have it really bad. I was just telling, and my son Sterling, he's getting ready to go off to college next year. And I said, son, you really are at a great disadvantage. Because everybody thinks you're so advantaged because you're a white male conservative Christian.
It's
just really, you're not going to catch any breaks, and everybody's going to complain to you about all the breaks that you've had, even though you've never really had any. But here's the other one. This one really takes the cake. And again, folks, these are just from today. You can find 10 stories like this every day here in the country. The Daily Herald, at Brown University, which I believe is in Rhode Island. Student activists at Brown have been hard at work over the last year, working closely with university administrators to codify a $165 million diversity policy, an inclusion policy. Now, some are saying that work, among other things, has taken a toll on their grades as well as their overall mental health. And they would like the university's help. And for starters, in summary, what they're asking is for the university to give them extensions on all of their classes, excuse their absences, because they have been busy protesting and otherwise engaged in activism on campus in order to push for the university's diversity policy. Now, does anybody do anything? It's interesting, back in the 60s when like many of our grandparents were on campus, they protested for fun. Now it's like, I've been microaggressed because my mental health is at stake because it's taken, I want credit for activism. What is your reaction to this idea of you become active on campus and therefore you deserve to get a break on your schoolwork?
Well, my personal then kind of reaction is that if you can't find other ways to kind of do that and fit it in and balance everything, then you don't then deserve a break, because the number one kind of aspect that they're all pushing is that life isn't fair. And I wholeheartedly agree, life isn't fair. Even at my personal semester, kind of in this university, I'm juggling three different jobs. I'm in 15 credit hours, and I'm actively involved in four different groups where everything then is hard, but I'm not sitting here asking, this doesn't help my grades. My grades are suffering because I'm doing this, so I need help.
But this whole idea of diversity, do you run into that in what you're studying, this idea? Obviously, the University of Wyoming is kind of a unique climate, Western small town, I mean, are there those clamoring that there isn't enough diversity at the University of Wyoming?
Yeah, actually, there was a event in this past, like, October or November for diversity, you know, kind of to address the lack of diversity on the University of Wyoming campus, which is led in large part by the School of Social Work, which I'm a part of, and I have nothing to do with this event. But the main kind of point that this event kind of drove home was that the University of Wyoming doesn't have sufficient minority representation because those minorities are being microaggressed by the non-inclusive campus environment. And they even went as far as to having to add in another director of diversity position when the entire kind of state budget is in a freeze because of, you know, because of the fact that, like, oil and natural gas and stuff like that is down. You know, they're saying, no, we need to add in this whole diversity thing.
But doggone it, we're going to add an extra diversity guru to help mitigate against this problem.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you know what's interesting to me, and for the sake of our listeners, I'm assuming that the problem is that you are all too white. Is that really what we're talking about here?
That's kind of what they're all trying to kind of put forth. Yeah, is that, you know, there's two white kids on, you know, in the University of Wyoming, and they don't pay any kind of credence to any other kind of possible explanations as to why, like, minorities even aren't there, even though we do have minorities, but they're not a lot because, you know, as you well know, Pastor, it's kind of, it's winter 10 months out of the year.
Well, I know, it's like I'm sitting here thinking that, think of how often you've been microaggressed by this harsh winter climate. I mean, they need a weather diversity advisor on campus to help all of you deal with all of, you know, my goodness, every time it dips below zero, it's triggering all sorts of mental illness. I mean, every single student there has had a choice. Nobody's making them go to the University of Wyoming. You have international students from foreign countries. You have athletes that are there, maybe some of them are minorities, but they're getting a full ride to go and be microaggressed. No, that's not the case. They're right. Giving the opportunity for an education, and it just kind of shows how silly things get. Well, we've got about 6 minutes left here, and I want to ask you real quick about the substance of your essay, but thanks for your reaction to that. I know it's been a tough time for you after your Carolina Panthers lost the Super Bowl, which I find ironic because you actually live in the Metro Denver area, and I am assuming nearly everybody else was rooting for the Broncos there at the University of Wyoming. But are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been microaggressed? Because there probably wasn't enough diversity of Panther fans as far as a ratio to Broncos fans, right?
I got over it.
But speaking of being minority, so a couple years ago, you know, the whole Russell Crowe Noah movie came out, and you ended up getting an invite. You had a unique experience, and you wrote about this in your essay. Tell our listeners what happened. What was this thing that you got invited to do, and how did you respond, and how did it go?
Yeah. So basically, a couple of years ago, the Noah movie came out. I went and saw it with a friend of mine who's actually kind of an atheist kid. And we had talked about things and had other kind of conversations about it. And I went with another friend of mine who, then still kind of identifies as Christian, and but he's not kind of Lutheran in any sense. And we were kind of talking to this kid about it, and he, offered for us to come actually talk with. All he told us was, at the time, was a group that would love to hear from two, quote-unquote, actual Christians rather than people that were, you know, that claimed to be Christian and sure, whatever and such, didn't really live to it. So I actually went and had some kind of advice from you on kind of what to do. And my home pastor from Colorado actually kind of coached me up on things to do and formulated kind of things that we were going to say. And we show up to this group meeting and we figure out that it's actually a group meeting of the Secular Student Alliance, which for those that don't know is basically the atheist student group or safe zone that's to be 2016 politically correct on campus. Mm-hmm. And and he had told us that, there'd only be like about, 4 to 5 kind of other kids there. We'd kind of have like a really kind of civil discussion. And the exact opposite pretty much happened. There's about twice that many kids. There's about 8 or 9 that showed up and they proceeded to kind of tear us apart really kind of over the next, kind of 2.5, 3.5 hours. And every time we'd kind of try and kind of conjecture in with a defense, it was quickly dismissed as either being, old-minded, old-fashioned, bigoted, or just plain rude, which is kind of the catch-all that most kind of secularists love to catch Christians in nowadays. And, really kind of nothing was accomplished, and it was really more just a kind of firing squad, if you will, for atheist kids to then kind of roast on, some Christians that they found.
So you were kind of an entertainment for the Secular Alliance group, more or less.
More or less.
Well, did it get you down? How did you, obviously you bore with it for a couple, 3 hours, and how would you do that again? Or what have you learned from the experience?
Oh, I mean, I totally would do it again. Just more than anything, I've learned that, instead of you being confident in who you are, you have to be confident in who your God is. Mm. As the Gospel of John then says in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And then in verse 26, it goes, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So saying then, you have to be absolutely confident in the fact of who your God is rather than who you are and what you know.
Because ultimately, whatever you face, you didn't even die. James talks about this a little bit, this whole idea of, I noticed that... You want to talk about how James kind of factored into your thinking coming out of that experience?
Yeah, because one of the first kind of books ultimately that I turned to after that whole kind of disparaging experience was James. And, James then goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So then saying, all right, but ultimately you have to realize that in kind of places like this, if you're going to have that conservative, Christ-centered Christian kind of viewpoint, then you're going to, be hated for it, and you're going to kind of have lots of arguments for it. Even Jesus then says himself that, the world hates you because you're not of the world and I picked you. But if the world then picked you, the world would love you. And that's not what we want at all.
Right,
we want Jesus to love
ultimately
us.
Ultimately, the world hates you because it hates him. And
exactly.
And obviously, we just have about 30 seconds here left. It's such a great experience, and obviously you don't want everybody to go out and just get slaughtered when they go into a situation like that. And we certainly, as Christians, shouldn't seek suffering. But I'm sure our listeners would agree. We appreciate your attitude and what you've learned from it. And do you have any last, about 15 seconds, any advice to somebody that might find themselves in a similar situation on campus?
Just what Joshua has to say is in the book of Joshua, is saying, be strong and courageous. And, and then ultimately, and they re echo in for Joshua to then the Great Commission, is saying, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. you know, even then when you go off and you do, you know, whatever it is, and you go into these kind of situations, know in every situation that Jesus is with you, that Jesus will always be with us. You know, he says himself, even unto the end of the age.
Now, those are,
God cannot lie.
No, those are wonderful words to live by. And thank you for that reminder. And thank you for the example of living up to your own namesake, Joshua. And we pray that you have a great year. And maybe we'll talk to you again down the line, but not for at least a year. Okay, take care, Josh.
Thank you. You too, okay, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
That's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
Well, that's all we have time for here today in the Student Union. Remember, wherever you are, you are always welcome here. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.